Good morning. Psalms 136, verses 23 and 24 says, "Who remembered us in our low estate? For his mercy endureth forever, and hath redeemed us from our enemies. For his mercy endureth forever." The psalmist is speaking of the God of the Israelites, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as a God who remembers. This morning I would like us to direct our attention solely to that concept of a God who remembers, and have the understanding that we must remember Him at all times. The first, brethren, I want to say thank you for this opportunity to preach this morning. It is a great privilege, and it's been a long time since I presented a sermon. In fact, I can't remember exactly when it was that I last presented a sermon. And since we were planning weeks back to be ready to fill in for Brother Ken in his absence when we knew he would be traveling, it started to bother me that I was not able to remember exactly when it was. I can't remember the date, that is, a rough time frame. And I'm here to tell you, brethren, it's actually a bit of a sad thing, and part of the impetus for this lesson today, because I believe we should remember the things, the details of the things that are important to us, if they truly are important to us. But unfortunately, I do forget things from time to time. I know we all do. And Brother Paul can back me up on this particular phenomenon I'll mention briefly, as it involves truck driving. He was an over-the-road truck driver, so he can sympathize with me when I say there have been a number of times when I would finish my driving for the day, however many miles I would have driven, 400, 500, 600 miles, and I would park in a place hundreds of miles from home, and when I would wake up in the morning, I wouldn't be able to remember which way the truck was pointing. I wouldn't be able to remember what state I was in sometimes, or what truck stop I stopped in for the first few seconds, until I really woke up, pulled the curtains back in the sleeper, and took a look around. I couldn't remember where it was that I was. And at least a couple of instances, I couldn't remember who I was for just a few seconds before I really woke up and came to myself. So you all know what I mean when I say, if you've ever mentioned those words, if you've ever said them, "I completely forgot." So it might not seem like such a big deal, but when I couldn't remember if I had even preached in the time since I got my job as a driver, 7.5 years ago, that's a long time, it really started to bother me very much. And it caused me to think more about memory, God's gift to us of memory, and what a precious thing memory is to be able to recall. It was from thinking about this and knowing I would need to preach that I thought about this question: what else might I be forgetting? My logic was simple. I said, if I'm forgetting some of these things over here that I believe should be important to me, then what else might I be forgetting? Am I forgetting something? Be a good theme for a sermon, I thought to myself. That's because we as Christians need to be able to ask ourselves that question in a purely spiritual sense, and just remember, it's one thing for the trivial things of life, the inconsequential things that really don't matter. It doesn't matter which way the truck was parked, so long as it was parked legally, that's all that matters. But it's another thing altogether if we fail to remember the spiritual things of God, because we should know full well that if we fail to remember our Lord in our lives daily, then we're going to run the risk of forgetting about anything and everything that's truly worthwhile. And then should we die in that state, we might as well forget about being with the Lord in paradise when this life is over, because it's just not going to happen. So today, brethren, let's center our minds just for these next few minutes on this one thing, solely this one thing, because I believe this one thing is something that we have the potential to take for granted more than anything else in our earthly existence, that is God's gift to us of memory, and the importance of remembering Him. So for a few moments, let's not think so much about not being able to remember. As we know, there are many who, by virtue of the onset of some disease, some cognitive disease, or a blow to the head, sometimes people lose the ability to remember the way that they once could. Rather, we'll think about that which is within our power and our control to recall. Our starting point is that there's nothing wrong with our brain as we go into this lesson, as we consider the importance of remembering God and the importance of knowing the dangers of forgetting to remember those things that we should always remember. And we can do this by reading a few select passages from the Word of God that will put us in remembrance of this very thing. First, we need to understand, we have to acknowledge that there is no remembrance whatsoever without there first being God. It was God who gave man his life. It was God who gave man the capacity to remember and gave man something to remember. You might have heard somewhere along the line somebody say something, maybe a really irritated person, maybe just someone who was very belligerent, say those words, "You just keep it up, I'll give you something to remember." Well, this is a different sort of thing we'll think about, because the God of heaven gives us good things to think about, things that are meant to build our lives, things that guide us and make us strong in the faith. It was God who created man and imparted him to him this capacity to remember things and to keep in remembrance the things that God told him to. Contrary to what someone might try and tell you, man did not evolve out of a mud hole down by the seashore. It was God who created man. In Genesis 1, verse 27, we read of how God made man in his own image as a conscious being with the ability to reason and understand, having an eternal soul. And then in Genesis chapter 2, we see how that God not only gave man his tremendous thinking and mental faculty and the capacity to learn and remember, he gave man a law that he could understand and obey. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, the Bible says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." And then in Genesis chapter 3, we learn of how man failed to keep the law that God gave him to obey. Adam and Eve both ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They failed to properly keep in mind the words and command of God concerning this one thing that he had instructed them to not do. Also, we know beyond any doubt that the first man and woman didn't sin because of a failure to remember, because there was something wrong with their brains. No, they had no cognitive problems at all. Just the opposite. Some have attributed to Adam a kind of super intelligence, as shown in his ability to name all those animals, all the animals that God created, and remember them as he did so. So there was nothing wrong with his capacity to think or reason. There was nothing wrong with his capacity to remember what God had said, nor was there any such problem with Eve. These two individuals were the masterpieces of God's creation. The first man and woman, having never suffered any disease or injury, and without sin until that moment. So as you think about what happened here, ask yourself, what is my excuse? What is your excuse? What is our excuse or our supposed reasoning when we fail to remember? How do we try and explain away how we forgot something that we should remember? Often, it's our own reasoning that excuses us in our minds. Our reasoning sounds perfectly right. It sounds perfectly good. It all makes perfect sense in our own mind, but then those minds around us have a way of seeing through that other people's minds have a way of seeing, and most importantly, God's mind has a way of seeing that our reasoning is completely faulty, completely and utterly faulty. When Almighty God confronted Adam and Eve about their sin, Adam's reasoning was faulty. He said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And Eve's answer also showed that her reasoning was faulty. She said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. So there's some finger pointing going on there, but nobody's taking responsibility. Who was responsible for the transgression of God's law? Well, in the Lord's wisdom and His mercy and His love, He plainly tells us who's responsible for sin, with no room for confusion at all, because when you're talking about one's spiritual state in the sight of God, there is no room for error. He said to them, He told them, He told Adam and Eve in advance. He always tells and warns His people ahead of time, quote, "In that day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die," end quote. That is a loving God warning His creation and telling them exactly who was responsible for sinning against Him. It is the transgressor who was at fault. They transgressed or went against God's will when they failed to obey, and they failed to obey because they failed to hold their God in their minds the way that He intended them to. They failed to properly remember God and His Word. And we've all failed at one time or another in our lives through sin. We have all failed to remember Him in the course of our lives. Romans 3, verse 23. The good news of the Bible, as perfected in the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that even after we have sinned, the God of heaven has made a way for us to be reconciled to Him if we would obey, if we would repent and turn back and obey His word. This was something that began to be set in motion right then in the garden when God said to the serpent in Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse 14, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." This is part of the plan of salvation that the Heavenly Father ensured would be made possible through Jesus Christ. That even though the devil had bruised the heel, his, that is the devil's head, would be bruised in the triumphant Jesus Christ. But lest we get too far ahead of ourselves thinking in that line of thought, let's take this opportunity to look further into this theme of the importance of memory and holding our God in our minds properly in our daily lives to consider this next point. While we have just seen, just from these few verses of Scripture this morning, that God, who created the universe, gave Adam his reasoning ability and his capacity to remember. Something else that we absolutely must also see in the Bible is that God never fails to remember. That is, while man can remember because of the gift of memory that God first gave him, and God has commanded that man remember God, God does remember man. And begin to illustrate this point from the Bible, we can go straight to one of the most beautiful instances of this truth also in the book of Genesis, as we consider the covenant that God made with Abraham. Please read along with me, if you'd like to, in Genesis chapter 12, as we consider this example of how God remembered man, and most especially those who entered into a covenant relationship with Him. Genesis chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Skipping to chapter 15, beginning at verse 12. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterwards shall they come out with great substance, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. And then in chapter 26, beginning in verse 1, And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So in just these three passages of Scripture, we see these awesome, these amazing promises that God made to Abraham, and they included how he or his descendants would be given a special land, how that got a land that God would show him, and how Abraham would be blessed, how he would be made a great nation, and how all the families of the earth would be blessed through him. And there are other passages that we could read that demonstrate this point of how God remembered his servant Abraham, but I believe these suffice to show that God remembers man, and God especially remembers those who keep him in their minds, that is, those who remember him in obedience to his word. But we know that there's so much more to the story than that. Not only did God remember Abraham in his life, Abraham and his descendants, he also remembered and kept the promises made to Isaac, to Jacob. Indeed, all the things that God said would happen to his descendants did indeed happen. And time doesn't permit us to go revisit all of those amazing adventures, shall we call them, that overtook Isaac and then his sons, Jacob and Esau, throughout the rest of the book of Genesis, of how the lives of Jacob Israel at that point, how his sons, particularly his son Joseph, and all that he endured, being sold into slavery by his brothers, and how God used faithful Joseph to save many lives, including his family Israel, and to build up the nation of Egypt through the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine. But so it was, in the course of many God-inspired events, Abraham's family was drawn into Egypt. So Egypt was that land God spoke of to Abraham, that place where the Israelites would find themselves in. A land that was not their own, and a land that they would be forced to serve in and become slaves in for 400 years. And it's this period of time in their history I want to stop and think about for a moment, this 400 years, because it's often in those times of affliction that many people start to think that God does not regard them at all, that God does not remember them. We live in an age today where people seem intent on being upset about perceived afflictions and made-up afflictions rather than the real thing. Well, the Israelites in ancient Egypt, in bondage, they experienced real affliction, which only became worse and worse the closer that 400-year mark came. We read in the book of Exodus how their Egyptian taskmasters became particularly horrible when they forced them to make bricks, and then decided to stop supplying the straw to make the bricks with, but insisted that they continue to make the same number of bricks for the Egyptians as they did before, without interruption. Yes, things were very bad for the Israelites in ancient Egypt, but God still remembered them. In Exodus chapter 2, beginning at verse 23, the Bible says, "And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them." And this scripture tells us several things. It tells us that God hears the cry of his people by reason. For ancient Israel, it was by reason of the bondage, the Bible says, that they endured as part of the fulfillment of the promise, God's promise, to his servant Abraham. And for us in the New Testament, in the Church of Christ, we're told that if we suffer for Christ in keeping his law and his doctrine, that God is mindful of every bit of it. And that suffering is something we're sometimes called to do in our service to him as his people. In 1 Peter 2, verse 18 through 21, the Bible says, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it when you be buffeted for your faults? Ye shall take it patiently. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." And something else that passage in Exodus chapter 2 tells us, that God will have remembered us in our affliction before we actually realize it. And that his divine purposes in fulfilling his promises to his people is something that is already in motion before we even know it. When we continue to read through the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, we see how God remembered his people and fulfilled the promises of that covenant he made with his servant Abraham, how he delivered the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage in such a glorious way that the whole world became aware of it and brought them into that land that he promised to give them. So far we've considered how God blessed man with his memory, that God remembers man and gives him a law that he can keep, and the law by which to properly remember God. Something we have to consider now is the danger and the warning that we have of not keeping in our remembrance that which God has given us to remember him by. Case in point, even as God was saving Israel out of Egypt, even in the very process of delivering the people, there were some who would not remember properly their Redeemer, even as they were being redeemed, even as they were being brought out. And I refer, of course, to those who began to murmur against Moses and against Aaron, and ultimately against God, who said it would have been better to serve in Egypt, to live in Egypt, and not be free than to come out here into the wilderness and die. I refer to those who made that golden calf of the spoils that God had blessed them with from the Egyptians and worshipped it as the God who delivered them instead of the God of their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who had actually brought them out. So it is unfortunately the case. It does not take long at all to forget God. And something from that particular historical instance with the Israelites that we can learn is, or that they can teach us from their example, is that there is no forgetting God without a cost. It cost them the promised land. As we read in the Bible, that those who worship the idol were not allowed to enter into that great land that God had promised Abraham. They were made to wander in that wilderness for 40 years, but not allowed to enter into the land. Their children would enter into the land. And so God fulfilled his promise. And the law of Moses was given to them again, meant as a way to help them keep God in their minds, to remember God, if they would serve Him faithfully. Let's read together what Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you'd like to read along with me, beginning in verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at the latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. In this one chapter, we can see the fulfillment of everything that we've been talking about so far. That God remembers man and always fulfills his promises to his faithful. That man must remember God. And that if man does not remember God in the way he is said to, then man will not have and enjoy the blessings of salvation that God offers to those who do choose to live faithfully for him. You might be sitting there now thinking, David, you read from the Old Testament a whole lot, you know. We live under the New Covenant. We live under the New Testament. You do know that, right? Well, I read that lengthy scripture from Deuteronomy because of that journey that the Israelites had been on in what was then an ongoing fulfillment of God's promises. I have often wondered what life was like for them in that 400 years. For those Israelites who were born, who lived, and who died in Egypt, what daily life was like for them. And then I wondered what life was like for those who were standing there listening to Moses give the law, to be convicted as he spoke those words. I wondered what it would be like to be there and look at my clothes and realize they're still whole upon me when they should be in tatters, and to look down at my feet and realize they're just fine under me when they should be bruised, they should be blistered, they should be broken up from so much walking in the wilderness for so long. To stand there and just realize how intimately the God of heaven takes care of me, I want to believe would supercharge my faith forever. I want to believe that I would never forget God. Sadly, Israel did not always keep God's law. They would often forget Him. There were times when they fell so completely into sin and idolatry, and the desire to live like all the nations around them, that they would sin and God would punish them. He would always warn them, repent. But if they persisted, God punished them in many ways. And when they would repent, when they would come back to Him, He would restore them. And this process repeated itself again and again so many times throughout the Old Testament until, again, in the process of time, God fulfilled that final promise to Abraham that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through Him. Jesus Christ and His blood shed upon the cross is the greatest blessing that is now offered to all of us today. And in order to come into contact with that soul-cleansing blood, we need to faithfully obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. That means hearing and believing His word and expressing faith in it as such. Be willing to confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and to always be willing forever to confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Then we can be baptized for the remission of our sins, Mark 16:16. The Lord then adds us to His body, the body of the saved, that is His church. And we're instructed to live faithfully forever after. But should we fail to properly remember God, the Lord our God, in our lives daily, and should we sin, it is the Son of God that teaches us that we can repent of our error. We can come back to Him. But that is something that we have to choose to do if we're going to be made right in His sight again. The Lord Himself offered this great hope as the gentle persuader when He talked about the prodigal son. For those who would be willing to humble themselves, for those who would be willing to recall and remember God and repent. In Luke 15, beginning at verse 10, He says, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." And He said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." If you're here this morning, it's because you've remembered to come to remember the Lord on this first day of the week when we're instructed to come together to worship Him in the way that He is said to. However, as we ask ourselves in closing this question again, am I forgetting something? then please don't fail to remember the Lord at this time of invitation. If there's some part in your daily life that perhaps you fail to properly remember the Lord and would like to request prayers on your behalf, this is a very special time that we're blessed to have, this time of invitation. If you have any spiritual need that you need to make right, if there's any spiritual need that you have whatsoever, and you need to remember the Lord because you've forgotten Him, whatever that need may be, please respond. Please come forward now as we stand and sing.